So hi everyone, welcome to the podcast. So today we're joined by Anna Aguilar of AC Venture. So hi Anna, I would like to kind of dive deep first into how do you find great companies to invest into?
Hi. Yeah, so I think the process is very artisanal as any other venture capital fund. It depends or relies a lot on the network that you have and the connections that you have in the ecosystem, especially with other funds, accelerators, incubators, and other entrepreneurs. So that's the way mainly the first source of our pipeline comes from there. And secondly, I think, being part of the events where you might find those stakeholders, that's the main way we get those great companies. I think it's always better when they are referenced by founders that you know or by venture capital funds that you already met. So I think those are the ways.
I think you made a great point about how networks are so key. And yeah, so my next question for you is, how do you create more unicorns in LATAM? Any kind of perspective you could share on that?
At this moment, yeah, we have unicorns, but just by name, no, because really we haven't had those exits that every unicorn is expecting. So I think will be challenging, first of all, because of the public market in Latin America. Really, there are no strong public markets. So usually the exits that you will see or the exits that the company should look for are in US always, you know? So I think we have a great opportunity there. First of all, in funds that are in the growth stage, there are many, many funds in seed stage. And that is good because at the beginning, you have a lot of capital to start a company. But after that, when you would like to grow that company and take that company into the road, you know, for being a unicorn, it will be harder because there are not a lot of funds there that are helping in the growth stage. And after that, you will have a lot of challenges again because of the public market and because you don't have like all the resources that might be suitable for you to take that potential unicorn into the public market, no, or into the M&A, no. Sometimes those are the challenges. And I think to have more unicorns is first that have a better ecosystem, no, of investors. But also I think there is a huge opportunity to have a great entrepreneurs in the technical side. You know, we have great entrepreneurs that have started in the business or the commercial side, which is good. But I think to have robust products that really could survive times like this, you need more technical people being an entrepreneur, you know, or taking that road to be an entrepreneur. So yeah, those for me are the main points that I consider could be better, you know, in the ecosystem in LATAM.
My main takeaway from all that was the opportunity to have great technical ecosystem. So I wanted to kind of get your take on Mexico's startup and VCO ecosystem, seeing as though you're kind of a player in that industry. What could you share with the audience? Any new insights or any new developments that they should be looking out for?
In Latin America, something that is happening, I think, is really in the industry, for example, of sustainability or climate or anything related, you know, to the preservation of our ecosystem. That is an industry that is growing. But also, I think there are other opportunities, especially for medical or healthcare or wellness, you know, that also is related to insurtech a little bit. So I think those three points, you know, first the environmental, secondly the wellness, healthcare, and tied to that the insurance and topics related, you know, to that. In terms of what is happening in the VC ecosystem per se, I think at this moment, as I mentioned, we have many unicorns just by name, you know, but not really those exits that we are expecting. And there's a controversy, you know, on the valuations of several companies. There's a controversy of the real value of the entrepreneurs in the ecosystem. There are many people that think, yes, this venture industry is good and will have, they're very optimistic, no? And this industry will have a great time in coming years. And there are others that are more pessimistic that are thinking that it's going to be a challenging time, especially for the venture funds, because not all the LPs would like to invest in something that is not giving the results they were looking for. And also, I think they are considering that perhaps many of the investors or angels or family offices, you know, that represent almost the first checks for companies, perhaps will be more aware, you know, and more cautious about which are the companies that they would like to invest in the tickets, you know, the volume that they will be moving. So that's something that is happening. And at the end, as I mentioned before, there are many entrepreneurs in the first series or in the first stages of the companies. However, I think, yes, this will be a challenging time because, again, of the ecosystem for growth stage companies in LATAM, no? Especially for those that perhaps do not have a strong relationship with other funds in US, that might be the ones that would like to enter in growth stages. Or also could be a great time, no, for those that do not require capital and have proven that their product and their companies are in good shape, no. So I don't know. We will see. No, there are many like controversy in the ecosystem at this moment.
Okay, thank you so much for sharing about your take on the Mexico startup VC ecosystem and the opportunities that are available in the markets right now. And yeah, what's ripe in the ecosystem right now. So my next question for you is, so what's your take on SVB and its collapse? And what does that mean kind of for the venture capital industry as a whole? And also for kind of LATAM as well, like a region that's kind of separately away from all that, but still kind of close. So what's your take on that?
I think it was a massive it was difficult, you know, to hear that, because Silicon Valley is an institution that we admire, I personally admire so much because of the challenges they took and the risks they took since the beginning. Thinking about, okay, how can we make those startups grow? How can we help them? So really, I admired that challenge that they took since their inception. So it was massive and it was super fast. No, we thought, I think during that week, since we start listening that the valuation of the stock was going down, we thought, okay, perhaps this will represent a risk in coming months or in coming weeks, you know? But it was so fast that we didn't have like the time to react for like with anticipation. It was just like Thursday that we start contacting our startups, and Friday that we start contacting our startups and trying to see how they were doing, you know? And I think it was super difficult for the entire US industry, because I read, no, I think it was in Times, that almost 50% of the funds or the startups were part of SVB. No, they had an account or a credit or any other financial relationship with them. So for that reason, I think it was also dramatic, you know, for many hours. And what I think this represents is kind of just an accumulation of different factors, you know, or verticals. In the factors are mainly related to the economic cycle. During 2021, we had a great time of great entrepreneurs and really great investors, and everyone was not afraid of risk. No, they were just investing. They had more. They had like more liquid money to invest in different stocks and in different kind of financial products. And they were like freely investing, you know, without any doubt. But yeah, we all were like super optimistic at that time. And once 2022 arrived in these complications about, okay, are we going to have a recession? No, the interest rate going up, the war, the different conflicts, you know, between China, US, and everything that was like in a super bull market, sorry, turned out into a bear market. You know, more people thinking about, okay, I have this investment, but what am I going to do, you know, in the next couple of months? More people like thinking more aware about their money, of the prevention, you know, of any, I don't know, dramatic catastrophe. So I think there were many, many, many factors in that way in 2022 that it helped to what happened. You know, many, many startups that couldn't raise in 2022, many startups that also asked for more credit lines for SV. So it was a perfect combination of inflows and outflows of for Silicon Valley Bank that really they couldn't handle, no, at all. And what I also would like to say is that sometimes we try to blame, no, all the people, like, no, they took wrong decisions because they were super excited when the market went up. Or no, they took the wrong decisions when they started giving credit to everyone in 2022. But at the end, they were doing what they what they were thinking, you know, that was the best for the ecosystem. No, we don't really know like the intention, and perhaps there are other thoughts about, okay, did they manage correctly or no? I don't really know. No, I don't really know if they took the wrong or the best decision. But they did what they had at the moment, and with that, we came to an economic cycle, you know, where everything is going down and the interest rate is going up, and well, it is just part of the economic system. No, we cannot handle, even if we take the best decisions, we cannot handle that. No, we cannot really prevent what is going to happen in the economic cycle or when this is going to happen. So it's just part of, for me, it's just part of that cycle. No. So yeah, it's mainly about that. And how is going to affect? Well, perhaps as I said, there's money, because for many funds, there's still money. They have dry powder because they could raise during 2021 but now they will be more cautious about how they manage that money and the investments they do. I hope they try to help more in the growth stage, which is going to be perhaps hard or no, depending on the unit economics and the performance of those companies. But I think many of them will be looking more for the early stage, you know? So for Latin America, we don't know how this is going to affect, because I was in Colombia last week, and they were saying, no, we will go and keep doing business. And they were super optimistic, you know? So I think, yeah, the optimism is there. And for early stage, again, it's going to be a great time for growth. I don't know. But at least here, we don't feel like that pressure, you know, like it's in US. Here we feel like, okay, we many of the founders that start here, they start with accounts here and with perhaps their legal jurisdiction here. And after that, when they grow, they move to US. So perhaps that's the reason, you know, that they don't think that pressure, or they are not scared about the potential risks at this moment, but we don't know. No, we have to see how this develops in the time, and how can we.
Okay, sure. So I guess the sentiment I'm getting out of this is the uncertainty, optimism, and no pressure climate, as you were just suggesting just now. So my next question to you, and one of my final few questions is, so what's the investment thesis behind AC Ventures, and how do you guys kind of see the future panning out?
We invest, and because we are a corporate VC, an institutional VC, and they have the LPs, no, any kind of LPs, other funds, family offices, blah, blah, blah. For us, our unique LP, if I could say, is a company, you know? So in the corporate venture capital, it's a little bit different, and there are many, many models. Any company could have their own model, and they decide based on what they could like to have, the goals they would like to accomplish with that venture arm. So in our case, for example, we are totally dependent on the company that we are. And so they are the ones that provide us the capital, once we call it. We have a kind of reserve in the balance sheet, but every time we invest in other company, we ask for that capital. And for us, and because we are tied to the company totally, the verticals we invest in are related to the operations of the company. So the company is a Coca-Cola bottler. That means anything related to retail tech, logistics and supply chain, especially for CPG products, fintech in terms of the movement of money for the transactions we do, and water and plastics are those verticals or thematic areas we invest. About the tickets, we invest in series, mainly series A, or sometimes B, tickets around $500K to $2.5 million. And because for us, the most important thing is the strategic side, you know, how this company will help us to achieve certain goals, or how this company could leverage into our operations. That is the first step for us, you know, and that's the first analysis point. So it's mainly that.
Awesome. So thank you so much for sharing about your investment thesis, and yeah, wishing you lots of success in the future. And yeah, so my last question for you is, so what's the kind of your take on the skill set needed to break into VC, and how can students go about acquiring these skills, as VC is kind of becoming a hot topic right now?
Yeah, I think we I don't know how it is in other countries now, but here in Mexico and in Latin, this is very new. No, this is a very new industry, even for US. No, for US, you have like, I don't know, 100 years now doing this, but this is nothing compared with other industries that perhaps have more time in the market. So for me, the best way to do or to break into VC industry is to get the network. You know? It is not easy. And usually this industry is super tied to who do you know, with whom have you worked in the past. So try to have conversations, you know, even cold messaging to people that you meet in LinkedIn, or try to be aware of which are the accelerators or the incubators in your town, and try to go to every event that you consider will be relevant for the topics or for the network that you would like to build. And meet people, you know, meet people there and message them for a follow-up call once you have finished that event. After that, try to also read good books. There are a couple that will show you which are the main like points. For example, there's one that is Venture, I don't remember the name, but I'm going to pass those those names through email. Venture Deals, yeah, that's the name. Venture Deals, yeah, that's a great starting point, because the authors present the main topics that you should cover as an entrepreneur or as a newbie in VC industry. Sam Hill Road is another great book that gives you a glance of what is the venture market like. And yeah, so I think reading those books, also you have a lot of blogs, you know, in Medium or in other websites that you can read, newsletters. And there are different, I mean, many people think that for venture capital to just have like the role of the investor, you know, but really in the new venture funds, you have a lot of roles, you know, even a software engineer could be part of a venture fund, people in marketing, people in finance that is looking more for the CFO or the controlling role. So try to look for those funds and also for those funds that you consider, okay, they are not looking just for investors, but also looking for, I don't know, assistants or people that are in HR and could be great connector now from startups to potential people that they might contract. So try to take out of the box about the venture funds. But if you would like to start investing as a hobby, I don't know, there are other great platforms such as Republic, for example, where you can, I don't know, start from $100 or $200 or something like that. Or there's also another fund that I like, the name is Sweater. So they are allowing people to invest, you know, in different deals with a couple of bucks now. So yeah, those are my recommendations.
Those are some excellent recommendations, and I think my biggest takeaway was there are a lot of pathways to break into VC. So it was an absolute pleasure and an honor to host you on the podcast today.